find Rudy, Robert, and Mary, call anytime at 800-387-8025. Follow the program on Facebook or Instagram at RM World Travel. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
Welcome back, everyone. It's nice to have you here with Mary and me aboard the RM World Travel Connection, and our show is sponsored by Le Bleu Premium Ultra Pure Water. You know, when you drink your current water, are you really drinking water? Well, not exactly. Most waters contain additives, minerals, and other solvents. Some even contain low traces of arsenic. The composition of Le Bleu is actually just water, 11% hydrogen, 89% oxygen, and nothing else. And Le Bleu's distillation and oxygenation process even kills and removes all viruses and bacteria. This is perfectly natural water with a fresh, clean taste that's odorless and colorless, and your body will crave. Hydration is so important, whether we're traveling, at home, or on the job. So for better health or a better life, give yourself the best Le Bleu Premium Ultra Pure Water. Coming to retailers nationwide, but if you don't see it at your local store, just ask them to get it. There's also a growing list of retailers at lebleu.com. That's LEBLEU.com. Or find a link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
Have you ever thought about the way planes have changed the way we travel, and specifically how the modern jetliners have changed, thereby influencing the actual way we travel? Well, our next guest has certainly thought a lot about this. Richard Abulafia is the Vice President of Analysis with the Teal Group, where he manages projects in the commercial and military aircraft field. So off to Washington, D.C. we go to delve into the evolution of three Boeing jetliners and their impact on our travels with Richard Abulafia.
Richard, thanks for joining Mary and me today. We've been looking forward to this discussion.
Same here. Great to be here.
Well, appreciate that. So, as Mary just mentioned during your intro, the evolution of the jetliner has clearly impacted the way we travel. And here's specifically what we mean by this. Most aviation experts, they credit the Boeing 707 with ushering in the golden age of commercial air travel, as it was the first four-engine transatlantic and transcontinental aircraft. But that design led to the Boeing 747, and then the Queen of the Skies really paved the way for today's Boeing 787 aircraft. So I'm curious, you know, what's your favorite of these Boeing aircraft, Richard, and what plane do you personally think has had the most impact on commercial travel today?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, truth is, I come at this from a bit of a nerd standpoint. I got my start in the turbine business, and the sort of unstated truth about the aviation world is that, you know, really, turbines are as much as important, if not more so, than airframes. And because the 747 ushered in the dawn of the very high bypass turbofan, or I can just say the high bypass turbofan, very high bypass mm-hmm. comes later, the high bypass turbofan was really the greatest single one device in democratizing air travel. And the JT90s that were originally used, Pratt & Whitney engines on the 747, make that, in my mind, the standout performer.
Okay.
All right, Richard. So my question, first of all, people who listen to our show regularly know that I happen to be, as a passenger, certainly not an airline or turbine expert, a fan of the Boeing 747.
Yes, you are.
Certainly nostalgic for me that it's going into retirement. I'm curious if you think the end of the super jumbo jet age is gone forever, or is it something, you know, the old cliche, what's old can be new? What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I share your feeling. I mean, as a matter of fact, I was on a 7-4 just the other day going to Heathrow, and that magic of that staircase and everything, just the sheer majesty of it all, really one of the wonders of the century. Are things gone forever? Well, they're good. Never say never, but they're gone for a very long time, and the reason is probably the greatest single paradox in aviation. You know, you've got basically a market that's five times bigger than it was in the dawn of the 747, and yet that hasn't caused airplanes to get bigger at all. What has happened is that it has enabled the feasibility of new city pairs. So, in other words, Washington here, we couldn't fly to Spain until recently directly without changing planes, JFK, Charles de Gaulle, wherever you like. Now we can. And as more and more of those city pairs become feasible, you begin to see smaller, long-distance planes make those new point-to-point routes possible, and that's where our friend the 787 really comes in.
It's making a big difference, yeah. Especially with Norwegian.
Absolutely.
Well, a question I have for you is this. I've always loved the story that I've read about how Boeing and the 707 really made Boeing the company that it is today. And for folks, if you're listening right now around the country, if you don't know this, back in the 1950s, Boeing had maybe a 1% or 2% market share, and they made a big gamble to create the first American jetliner. But I think for something like 5 years or so it was, they couldn't convince a single customer to buy their new Boeing 707 for either civilian or military use. And people thought they were done until a test pilot named Tex Johnston. He decided to demonstrate the plane's capabilities during an aviation event that was going on at Seattle's Lake Washington, where he performed an unauthorized, think about this, full circle barrel roll, stunning the crowd. And what I love about the story always, Richard, is when an angry Boeing CEO questioned him afterwards, he purportedly responded by saying, "Sir, I was just trying to sell airplanes." So Boeing clearly, Richard, they went on to sell a lot of airplanes from that, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, I think that really was one of those magical moments, and I think that's forgotten in the history of the aviation biz, that the arrival of the jet age maybe wasn't a foreordained conclusion. I mean, the maybe not pistons, but turboprops were seen by many as the natural successor to the piston-engined airplanes of the 40s and 50s. And we could conceivably have had an era where the Lockheed Electra just got bigger and bigger. But instead, it became very clear that people wanted the speed and performance of a turbofan, a proper jet engine on a jet airliner. And performances like that, of course, made the difference in changing perceptions.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly good.
Richard, I'm just going to ask you to briefly hold for 1 second while I reintroduce you to our listeners. If you're just tuning in, Richard Abulafia is joining Robert and me today, and we're discussing how three Boeing jetliners have changed the way we travel. Richard, we've already talked about the 747. We've touched on the 707, a little briefly on the 787. What are some other ways that you think Boeing aircraft has really had the greatest impact on the way we travel as passengers?
Well, one way, which is definitely something that was shared with Airbus, is that the two of them really brought into our lives the era of the twin-engine long-distance operation, engines turning or passengers swimming, as the joke goes, extended-range twin-engine operations. And the economics of flying a twin jet long-distance, possibly even over the Pacific in the last decade, have really brought a step change, a reduction in fare prices. That's definitely, and the 767 helped pioneer that with its own extended-range version.
Yeah, that did. I happen to be, and Mary said she's a 747 fan. I've always been the 757 fan. I know that it certainly went out of production 10, 12 years ago. But curious about this. You know, I think a great place to see firsthand how impactful that Boeing has been on aviation is really to visit their manufacturing facility up in Everett, Washington. It's a truly impressive facility. You see multiple models being built side by side. And what I think is, or certainly was, the world's largest building by volume. So do you prefer the Everett facility, Richard, or do you like the Boeing Field and the Museum of Flight south of Seattle?
Oh, don't make me choose. I mean, no question that Everett really is a cathedral for the technological age, just the sheer size of it all, as well as the sort of globalization factor, seeing, you know, dozens of flags painted on the back and realizing what a global business this is. But, of course, you know, Renton has velocity. I mean, at this point, they're ramping up to what's soon going to be 600 or 700 737s a year, which, of course, is far, we're already into all-time record territory by the time they get there in 2019. You're going to be able to see these things move. That's phenomenal to me. And, of course, there's no questioning the charms of the Red Barn there.
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. We've been a number of times. We've taken our kids in the past. I can't get enough of it personally.
No, it's a great destination. Richard, we've been reading about Boeing testing the blended wing aircraft, which if you're the kind of passenger who needs a window seat, you might be out of luck on that aircraft. But any insight, if you want to either touch on that quickly or on what else may be coming from Boeing in the future, and you've got about a minute left.
Right. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, the blended wing body has been around for some time, and it looks like a great idea from an economic standpoint, but it's not just passenger comfort, which is certainly a factor. It's also infrastructure. Everything needs to change to accommodate that thing. You can't just use existing jetways.
No, you can't.
Right.
But you do get better economics. There's all sorts of things. You know, as you know, the 787 is the first jet to use composite materials for primary structures, which is a real step forward. And while it looks conventional, the materials aren't. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with those materials, because as they make further advances with CFRP, carbon fiber reinforced plastic, you can come up with all sorts of exotic shapes as a result. So maybe we'll have trapezoidal wings that mount very high bypass turbofans on the top or whatever else. All kinds of possibilities, all in the name of continuing this process of democratizing air travel and making it cheaper for everybody.
Right.
Well, we're going to be able to talk in the future, certainly. You know, we mentioned three jets today. There are a lot more. We didn't even hit on the Airbus planes today. But, Richard, thanks for joining us today. Very interesting segment. We enjoyed it. So have a nice weekend, okay?
You do the same. My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care, Richard.
All right. A lot of fun. Like Tim Mary a lot.
Yes.
Great guy.
Yeah, yeah. Very passionate about aviation.
And if you're interested in checking out his website, it's just richardabalafia.com. We're going to put a link up on social media, and you can click over to his website that way. We're going to take a quick break, but there's so much more ahead as the RM World Travel Express rolls on, and the show returns after these messages.
Rudy Max's World with the Carries phone lines are open 24-7 at 800-387-8025. And so is the website at rudymaxa.com. We're back after these messages.